I'd like to read parts of verses from that very well-known passage in John 4. In verse 7, a woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city that they might buy provisions. Verse 29, "Come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" They went out of the city and came to him. Verse 42, "And they said to the woman, 'It is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world.'" In Luke's Gospel in chapter 19, the first verse, "And he entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus, and he was chief tax gatherer, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the crowd, because he was little in stature. And running on before, he got up into a sycamore that he might see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when he came up to the place, Jesus looked and saw him, and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him with joy. And all murmured when they saw it, saying, 'He has turned in to lodge with a sinful man.' But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I return him fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation is come to this house, inasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.'" And John's Gospel in chapter 19, verse 39, "And Nicodemus also, who first came to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. They," that's with Joseph, "took therefore the body of Jesus and bound it up in linen with the spices, as it is the custom with the Jews, to prepare for burial." Now, earlier in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 6, "And Simon answering said to him, 'Master, having laboured through the whole night, we have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net.' Having done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners who were in the other ship to come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they were sinking. But Simon Peter, seeing it, fell at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord.' For astonishment had laid hold on him and on all those who were with him at the haul of fishes which they had taken. And in like manner also on James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, 'Fear not, henceforth thou shalt be catching men.' And having run the ships on shore, leaving all, they followed him." I've been thinking a little bit about the Lord's call. In life we're called for various things, called to do various things, and this led me to think a little bit about the Lord's call. But as you will have noticed from these passages, that call comes in very, very different ways. None of them, I don't think, says that the Lord called any of the people that are referred to in the passages we read. But nevertheless, the call was there. I think you could say in the case of Saul of Tarsus, the call was very, very clear. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" But in his grace, the Lord approaches different people in different ways, such is the grace of the blessed Saviour. And in John 4, it's very interesting the way he first approaches this woman. He's just sitting there, wearied with the way he had come, and asks her for a drink. I marvel at the grace of the blessed Lord, the one by whom the worlds were made, and yet he came into a form in which he could be wearied with the way that he had come. And he asks a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. We know the story of this chapter so well, I didn't feel the need to read it all. It was quite clear that this woman was going through life And she just wasn't satisfied. She just wasn't getting out of life what she hoped that life would give her. Her reputation in Sychar would have been getting worse and worse and worse. She still wasn't satisfied. And she meets a man at the well. He speaks to her about living water. He has a way of speaking that attracts her attention. We don't know how long this conversation went on, but it's long enough for this woman to recognize something of the glory of who Jesus was. It doesn't actually say that she said very, very much to Jesus herself about what she'd come to, but it does say that she went into the city and said to the man, "Come see a man who's told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" She had come to something in her soul about who this lowly man was who had spoken to her at the well. What a lovely, lovely approach Jesus made to her. And I marvel at the grace of my blessed Saviour, who was prepared to come to a woman like this, who was prepared to come to a man like me, and to take and call us to himself, to call us to be those who are believers on him. "Come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" We think too of the way that this woman not only came to him herself, but there were those around. They knew her history. They recognized that that woman had found something that she badly needed, and they reflected on the fact that they too had needs. And they say, "It is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that he is indeed the Saviour of the world." So that woman, most unlikely woman, becomes the channel that God uses to speak to the men of Sychar. What a difference that must have made to Sychar. What a difference it made to the lives of individuals in that city of Samaria called Sychar. There were those there who had found just what Jesus could be to them. "We have heard him ourselves, and we know that it is indeed the Saviour of the world." As we think of that, we think of what it actually cost the blessed Lord Jesus to become the Saviour of the world, to come here. He who was rich in glory came down to earth below. Think of that marvellous stoop that Jesus came here for you and for me, that we might know what it is to have peace with God through accepting his work on Calvary. The church we were in on Thursday had up on the walls two rough bits of timber in the shape of a cross. It had thorns. It spoke to me of the crown of thorns. Had what I think were intended to be like the nails secured my Saviour to the cross. And it affected me to be reminded of the practical suffering of my blessed Saviour when he went to Calvary's tree. We think of nails made of pieces of wire, top made on them somehow, but these were big, big chunks of metal. And I suppose as close as man's imagination can get to what was actually used to secure my Saviour to the cross all those years ago. Not smooth nails, big chunks of metal were driven into the hands of my Saviour to secure him on the tree. There he bled for me. There he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. In those hours of darkness when, before God, he worked out the whole question of my sins and yours, and then he could say, "It is finished. The work was done." Everything to satisfy a holy and righteous God had been completed. And Jesus died and was buried and was raised again on the third day. What a marvellous story the gospel is. A man who was prepared to come, a man who did nothing to please himself, a man who died for others and was available throughout his life to everyone who came in touch with him. Well, I think too of the passage in Luke's gospel and speak about Zacchaeus interesting man, Zacchaeus. I think God's work had started in Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus for a start. And when he had the opportunity, he received him gladly. And Jesus looked up into the tree where he was and called to him, said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house." One thing that you can't help noticing about Zacchaeus, he seizes an opportunity when Jesus is coming that way, and he takes advantage of the opportunity. In the gospel, we plead with everyone who has not yet done so to seize the opportunity of putting their faith and trust in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one whose blood was shed on Calvary for you and for me. Jesus speaks about today, salvation has come to this house, inasmuch as he also, that Zacchaeus, is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I love to think of the way that the Lord sought Zacchaeus and saved him, secured him for himself, as he has done to so many who put their trust in his finished work and believed on him. I referred to John 19. We all know about Nicodemus. We're never actually told that Nicodemus actually accepted Jesus or owned who he was. We get the early reference to him, and then we get that other reference where he says, "Does our law condemn a man without hearing him?" Was there something operating in Nicodemus's heart then? Or was he just insisting on what the law said? We don't know. But he's one of those who come out in the darkest, darkest days and align themselves with the blessed Saviour who's died for him. Nicodemus came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. I don't know how much the pound was then. It suggests it's a substantial load. And he brought those out of affection for Jesus, so that he might bind up the body of Jesus with the spices, as it was the custom with the Jews to prepare for burial. I just think that Nicodemus is a lovely man. As I've said, we know so little about him, but in the darkest hour he's prepared to come out in allegiance with a dead Christ. We don't know what light he had, but thank God he was prepared to come out in those circumstances and show his allegiance with the blessed Saviour. It's a challenge, isn't it? Easy to align yourself with a cause that's going well. When there's no criticism, when there's no reproach in doing so, Nicodemus was prepared to come out and show his affection for Jesus in these dark, dark days when Jesus had actually died. Well, finally, I just speak about calling disciples in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Three fishermen, at least, they've had to do with Jesus. They find that he's one that's completely different from any man they've ever dealt with before. And Peter, in his initial contact with the blessed Saviour, says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord." What he's come to, how he's come to it, but it's a fact for everyone who has to come to it in their soul that they're sinful. We're all sinful by nature. We can't do anything about it of ourselves. All we can do is stretch out our hand in faith to the blessed Saviour and accept his work on Calvary and find peace with God through believing on what he's done. Astonishment had laid hold on him and all those who were with him at the haul of fish. And there's James and John, sons of Zebedee, partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, henceforth thou shalt be catching men." They've been called not just to be followers of Jesus, but to be disciples, those who come under the blessed Lord's sway and who do what he tells them to do. And it's at a cost. Having run the ships on shore, leaving all, they followed him. I love to think of those men who were prepared to follow Jesus, to be his disciples, to work the works that he gave them to do in those early days of Christianity, at a tremendous cost to themselves, those ships left on the shores of the lake, and they went and followed Jesus. Well, the Lord is looking for us to follow him at whatever cost it may be. And I ask myself whether I'm prepared to count that cost to follow him. When I think of the greatness of the work that he's done for me, what he's bought for me, when he carried my burden of sins away, that I might know peace with God, that I might have a hope for the future, a certain hope, not a flimsy sort of hope that it may well be, but a certain hope of being eternally with him. And it's entirely as a result of what he's done for me. I can do nothing of myself save to take hold, to believe, to accept what Jesus has done for me. May we just be encouraged to hear the voice of Jesus and to respond to it for his name's sake. Amen.